Of the grace of God, our gospel in the grace dispensation and according to the grace covenant, amen, that God made with us through and in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are under grace, the grace dispensation. God is dealing with his church, his body, the body of Christ, through grace. And I have no illusion that but when our Elder Liverman stands here, the Lord will enable him as though he is preaching to tens of thousands, even millions. Because actually, he will be through our web broadcasts. So let us be encouraged and in expectation as we bring to you Elder William Liverman to minister to us the gospel of the grace of God. Let's receive him with a very hearty amen.
Amen. Say grace and peace to the household of faith. Amen. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God for Jesus. His shed blood is living name. Every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, grace, and kindness. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy, Father. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us together one more time. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, for Christ. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, that everything we do, everything we say should magnify Jesus Christ and him crucified. We thank you for the word of God today, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for the grace of God's church. I ask you to continue to, oh, God, strengthen and bless our pastor as he continues to recover. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, for bringing me back safely from the visit of my mom. Thank God, North Carolina. We thank you for the word of God. Father, thank you, Lord. Bless the word of God today. Yes. Oh, God. Energize the word of God as only you can. Bless your people today. Oh, God. Encourage us to move forward in the things of God. We thank you for your goodness, kindness, and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank God for the word of God today. Amen. The temperature may be cold, but my soul is hot in Jesus, right? Yeah. Amen. Amen. We move on. Preach in season, out of season, hot, cold, whatever. Preach the gospel, right? Preach the gospel. Amen. Well, on behalf, thank God for everyone. Miss everyone last week, but on behalf of my family in North Carolina, the glorious time with my mom on her 90th birthday. And I just looked around. We had a big dinner in there at my sister's house in Greensboro and looked around. There's 75 people between siblings and nephews, niece, aunt, you know, just everyone. And as we were praying before dinner, I said, look, I said, wow, niece and nephews now, some of them in their 20s and 30s. It's like yesterday they were just, you know, but amen, times move on, right? Amen. All right, here's what we're going to go. The time is of the essence. Time is of the essence. I know it's a little cool here, so I'm going to plan on being out of here about sitting down by 1 o'clock. So what? Because there's one thing about the word of God. You can prepare. Amen. It's always a part two, right? Always a part three. Amen. You move on in Jesus' name. At this time, everyone should have a document. Brother Randy, I hope everyone received the document here on Grace Gospel Ministers' Correct Division and Apportionment of the Bible. Now, number one, for ministers, even for those in other countries, nations, you can download this entire document. We're doing an excerpt on the section dealing with the New Testament. Because from experience, this is the part that trips up a lot of God's people. Amen. So anyway, but we're going to go through this. So I trust that you have that. And then we're going to move right on in Jesus' name. Okay, at this time, our reader, we're going to go to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15. Again, 2 Timothy, chapter 2. All right. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15. I'll give you time to find that. Amen. And see, one thing about the Word of God, church, we have to understand that the Word of God has to be rightly divided. Because if it's not rightly divided, it can cause a lot of problems. Amen. Deacon, we're going to read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 as our base scripture. Amen. You can read this in the interlinear, in the King James, in the interlinear Greek as well, because a lot of people tell you that they say things such as the Bible contradicts itself. No, it doesn't. But if the Bible is not rightly divided, you'll never understand it. It's impossible to understand it. And that's why we always say, if you do not divide the word of God according to dispensations and covenants, you will be confused. Guaranteed. No way. I have 25 years of proof to know. Ain't no way. No way. I know that ain't, that's not the best English, but I'm telling you, it was no way. You'd be throwing food away, banging up TVs. You'd be doing some crazy things. Amen. But thank God, if it's rightly divided, it brings liberation. Okay, Deacon Gavin.
We're reading from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15, first from the King James Version. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now from the interlinear Greek text, 2 Timothy 2, 15. Be eager, thyself approved, to present, having presented,
yes,
to God a workman unashamed, cutting straight the word of truth.
Cutting straight, church. Cutting straight. In interlinear Greek, in another portion, it states you have to cut it straight in terms of dividing the messages in the Bible for spiritual comprehension. Now, what we're going to do now is this. Go to the document, first page. Let's look at the introduction here. The Bible is a blessed book, but it can't be a curse to you if it's not rightly divided. Amen. It can be a curse to you because you won't, it'll be a curse in terms of you not having spiritual understanding. How many know that God gave us a word to understand? Sure. Amen. All right. Okay. Let's read the first page here in the document. General entry. Okay. The title, God's Grace Gospel Ministry's Correct Division and Apportionment of the Bible. Again, this was written by Pastor Cutler several years ago. And as I mentioned, you can download the entire document via the website. This book, the Bible, contains a man of God, state of man, workings of salvation, doom of the condemned, and eternal bliss of God's elect. Its histories are factual and decree is immutable. It is studied for information, believed for security, and practiced as God's express will. It contains directives for comfort and encouragement. It is the sojourner's map, the wanderer's staff, the palace compass, and the battle sword. Its conveyances are the heavens revealed and gates of hell exposed. Christ is its prime object of God's design, the elect's welfare, and the testimony of the glory of God, which is its ultimate end. It refreshes the memory, influences the heart, and guides the elect daily lifestyle. When it is rightly divided and studied slowly, frequently, and prayerfully, it is the assignment of everlasting life to some and judgment to others, as this decree is eternal. It exudes the highest depiction of God's eternal accomplishments, provisions, and benefits to his elect, as well as the condemnation to those not covered by such, as all are subjected to the conveyances of its sacred contents. The word Bible simply means books, church, and together there are how many? 66 of them. But here's the problem. But unfortunately, the Bible is traditionally assessed and bound up in one volume. See that? That's where the problem begins. Traditional arrangement of the books of the Bible. We know the Old Testament. And the Orthodox tradition tells us the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, 39 books. The New Testament, Matthew to the Revelation, 27 books. You add these together, there's 66 books in the Bible. Now, I'm not going to get there today, but right now, in fact, you see that the Old Testament really did not begin in Genesis. Okay? I'm not going to go there today. It really began in Exodus when God gave the law to Moses. But again, we'll cover that again. Amen? Now, let's go to the next page, because here's the problem, church. Now, you see these here? The 27 New Testament books tradition arrangement into four groups. Now, let me give you some, before we go here, let's give you a little intro on these categories, and then we'll explain this in more detail. But let me give you an intro. Several years ago, this when I was at one of the churches I used to run, you know, run around in terms of different churches. This pastor was preaching on, of course, salvation. And you know, traditionally you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then you know you have what, the Acts. So he stayed in the Acts for 4 weeks. I mean, just stayed on Acts 2:30. Repent. I tell you, let's go there. Hey, okay, man. I know we're not gonna have. I'm gonna come back next part two, church, but just bear with me. Amen. For this section here regarding with the apportionment of the Bible. He stayed on this for 1 month. Acts 2:38. Well, but first of all, because of time's sake, we know the story. The day of Pentecost, Peter, Jews from all over, they were coming to hear what? The kingdom gospel message. The day of Pentecost. From all over the different portions, all over the empire, they came to hear this, the kingdom gospel. And when Peter preached, and you know, the Bible tells, God caused some, not all, to be pricked in their heart. In other words, God called some to the light came that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's the Savior. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit brings truth? You can only have knowledge and understanding via the Holy Spirit. So don't get mad if people don't understand the Bible or they don't understand divisions of the Bible. No, you love them and move on. Amen. But God calls them to believe. So they say, okay, Peter, this is wonderful. What must we do to be saved? We know the story. What did Peter say? Acts 2:38. Go ahead, D. That's right. You're right. Amen. What did Peter say?
Then Peter said unto them, repent.
That's right.
And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
That's what Peter said, church. That was the kingdom message. Repent, right? It was like, okay, repent, church, repent, be baptized. That went on for 4 weeks. But somewhere on the fourth week, the preacher said, now, you have to read this whole Bible. You want to love Jesus, read the whole Bible. I mean, nothing wrong with that, but make sure you understand what you're reading. So there was a sister there. She was obedient. She said, okay, she went through all of Acts. And then she, okay, what's after Acts, church? We know Romans, right? So what she did, she went to Romans. Here's what she read. Now understand that for 4 weeks, repent and be baptized. Then she read Romans and she asked her preacher in love, she asked him this question. But first of all, let's go to what she read. Deacon, go read Romans chapter, go to Romans chapter 10. Now again, he just finished telling her about repent and be baptized. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, D, King James and Greek.
Romans chapter 10, verse 8, King James Version first. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Okay, please, Greek text, please.
Now from the interlineal Greek text. But what says it? Near thee, the word is, in the mouth of thee, and in the heart of thee. This is the word of faith which we proclaim. Because if thou may confess, having confessed.
May confess, having confessed. Okay.
With the mouth of thee, Lord Jesus, and may believe, having believed, in the heart of thee, that God him raised from dead, thou wilt be saved. For with heart believes to righteousness, and with mouth confesses to salvation.
Now, church, understand, This sister didn't know anything about actualization. In other words, may confess, haven't confessed. May confess, may believe, haven't believed. Now, she didn't know anything about everything actualized by God's decree. In other words, God has actualized those who are going to confess in eternity. But the manifestation of those who confess in time is all based upon the decree. It's based upon the saying. Some will confess in time, some will not confess in time. Now, she didn't know anything about actualization by God's decree. She didn't know anything about what having some confess, haven't confessed. But what she did know, the Holy Spirit did reveal to her that you are saved apart from what? Water baptism. So she asked her pastor, she said, wait a minute, over here in Romans, it said you can be saved by what? Confession. So she caught the pass off guard. In other words, you shouldn't be called off guard. Just understand, rightly divide the Bible. Right. So he was kind of fumbling. He said, well, sister, understand, what happened first? Acts or Romans? And she said, but Acts. Well, I tell you what, because Acts occurred first, we're going to go with Acts. Now, see, that's not the right answer. That's not the right answer to say that we're going to go with Acts, because the things that Acts occurred before Romans, what they did, go back, let's go to page 2. He was focused on the groupers of the Bible church. The groupers meaning that what? The events in Acts occurred before Romans in his understanding, and he got tripped up. So we're going to have two spiritual exercises today to kind of regarding page 2 here, because the group, especially group 3, if you do not divide group 3 properly, you're going to have a lot of misunderstanding, church. You need to rightly divide the Bible. So, Lord, especially, I'm telling you, when we get letters from preachers and they ask certain questions regarding Scripture, 99% of that occurs because they have not separated the kingdom gospel from the grace gospel. Now, I hope you have a pen today, because here's what we're going to do real quick. What we're going to do, for time's sake, go to, you see if it says group 1? For time's sake, if you have a pen, put the word I, Israel. Just put the code there. They're separating the messages. Mark, I, Israel. In other words, you have Israel's message and the message for the body of Christ. And when you look at this, when you read the Bible, you say, wait a minute, is this the commonwealth of Israel or is this the body of Christ? Luke, I, Israel. John, put an I there, Israel. Go to group 2, Acts. Now, that's a transitional book, but for the fact that they are Pentecost and all, I have no problem. That's primarily, it started out with Israel, but it transitions to grace. Now, here's where group 3 is where people get all confused. All right. Romans, please, B.C., put body of Christ, just for abbreviation. B.C., body of Christ. 1 Corinthians, B.C., body of Christ. 2 Corinthians, B.C., body of Christ, church. Galatians, write it down. B.C., body of Christ. Ephesians, B.C., body of Christ. Now, somebody said, L. Liverman, now listen, but you know what? I've been to school. I mean, this is not a Bible class church. That's the problem. We have taken Sunday. It's nothing wrong with preaching, but you come to church for what? Instruction. So what we're doing is giving you some instructions today. Amen? All right. Where'd I stop? Galatians, body of Christ. Ephesians, body of Christ, B.C. Philippians, B.C., body of Christ. Colossians, B.C., body of Christ. 1 Thessalonians, B.C., body of Christ. 2 Thessalonians, B.C., body of Christ. 1 Timothy, B.C., 2 Timothy, B.C., Titus, B.C., Philemon, B.C., body of Christ. Hebrews, B.C., body of Christ. Church, please, right now, draw a line all the way from one end to the other where you see under Hebrews, draw a line all the way across so that you will know that even though they have the groupings, they have some kingdom books and some grace books. draw a line all the way across, and this will let you know that BC, Body of Christ, is the message for the church today in this dispensation, the dispensation of the gospel of the grace of God. If you do not forcefully do it this way, you'll be jumping over there to James to try to put James' writings in this dispensation. So what have you done, church? You have put those 14 epistles, you coded those, Body of Christ. Now, since they have group 3, James, go back. Put out there Israel. 1 Peter, Israel. 1 John, Israel. 2 John, Israel. 3 John, church, Israel. Jude, Israel. And by the way, Revelation. Revelation, don't see they have, I don't know why they put group 4 there. Revelation is for Israel. The recipient in Revelation, Israel. Now you won't be afraid. Oh, I'm not going to read Revelation, all that crazy stuff. Wait a minute. If you know that it's what? To Israel, you can now read it with liberation because this is not your gospel. So Revelation, put up what? I there for Israel. So what have you done, church? You have demarcation, derivative. You've drawn, you specified what books are designed for the commonwealth of Israel and what books are designed for what? The body of Christ. Now, we don't have time for today's sake, but when you go home, in all the books, there's 27 books of the Bible, and I did it the other day. For example, let's take Matthew. Let's go to Matthew, because that's tradition. It's the, you know, right in Matthew, if you look at Matthew, what I did, because I'm telling you, if you don't do it this way, right, what I did, church, if you look at my Bible, I flip, see here? Right in Matthew, I have a red statement. This is Israel. And all the books of the Bible, I have specified Body of Christ, Israel. Now when you go in the contents of this, if anything seems to throw you off, go back to the beginning and say, wait a minute, is this for Israel or is it for the Body of Christ? And then when you say, oh, that's for Israel, you got liberation to know that that's not your gospel. And let me clarify more. We're not saying do not read the other portion of the Bible. But the liberations that you now know, wait a minute, this is for the body of Christ, and this is for Israel. Now, you won't get tripped up. Now, let's go to another part here. Amen. Now, the body of Christ. Now, notice, church, you have the document. Why, you see here, group 3, they have Romans through Jude. Romans through Jude. See, this is orthodox way of how they done the Bible. As group 3. But really, if you look at this, they have written Matthew through Revelation, calling this the New Testament. Now, somebody say, wait a minute. Why did they do that? Why did they specify Matthew through Revelation as the New Testament? One reason. Deacon Gavin, go to Jeremiah 31. See, here's what happened, church. Go to Jeremiah 31. Read 31 through 33. Jeremiah 31:31-33.
We're reading from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, beginning at the 31st verse. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people.
You see, church, the prophet Jeremiah, God showed the prophet Jeremiah that one day that he was going to turn to the law and turn to Christ, that he would put the law in their heart via the new covenant, which is the fulfillment of the promise that God gave Abraham. Now, here's the key. Here's the key. Go back to your document here. Now, where you see Romans through Hebrews, now, you already should have a line all the way across, so you'll see that for Paul's 14 epistles, somewhere adjacent to those 14 books, please write the grace covenant. Please write it. See, there's a methodology to this, church. It's amazing. People, there's a methodology to go to work. There's a methodology to eat. There's a methodology to get dressed. Everything is done via a methodology. But sometimes we read the Bible, we just think that everything is haphazard. No, there's a methodology to studying and reading the Bible. So, Paul's epistles is the grace covenant. And the other portion, Matthew, the other portions, the kingdom apostles church, the kingdom books, that's the new covenant. The promise that God made Abraham. So technically, what happened? Here's the summation. The earlier writers wanted the Matthew, the Revelation, they wanted to intertwine that to be what? One covenant. One covenant. And when you read it as one covenant, you would be confused. But within, from Matthew all the way to Revelation, there are two covenants. The new covenant and the grace covenant. Now we understand that, hallelujah, the Bible is such a liberated book to read it, because you'll say, wait a minute, what I read, is this the grace covenant or is this the new covenant? Grace covenant, bought of Christ. New covenant, Israel. I said one more time. Grace covenant, bought of Christ. New covenant, Israel. Now, let's go one step further in this. Amen. The Bible has to be rightly divided. Let's look at some of the spiritual blessings in terms of with right comprehension of rightly dividing the Bible, to know what you're reading and to know what belongs to you and what belongs to Israel. Deacon Gavin, go to Romans chapter 3, please. Now this is, let's say you're reading this. Now let's suppose someone, and by the way, someone that's receiving this message via the internet, and many of them right now, there may be many preachers, ministers listening to the message. It's very important that the Bible has to be rightly divided according to dispensations and covenants. Now go to Romans chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, Deacon Gavin. Now here's what can happen if you don't divide the Bible. Deacon Gavin again is our reader. Okay, Deacon Gavin.
Romans chapter 3, beginning verse 23, King James Version. For all have sinned.
Yes.
And come short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Okay. Do you read that in the Greek? Yes, please.
Now, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, from the interlineal Greek text. For all sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by the of him grace through the redemption in Christ Jesus.
Now, Dick, go over there. Go to verse 28. Verse 28.
Verse 28 of Romans chapter 3. For we reckon to be justified by faith, a man without works of law.
You are justified by what? Faith.
Faith.
Without the works of the law. And you read that, a person gets so excited. Oh, we are justified through Christ apart from works. That's liberating to read that we are justified. Those in Christ Jesus, we are justified by the faithfulness. By the way, when we say we're not justified by faith in Christ, because a depraved man can't have faith in anything but depravity. Amen?
Uh-huh. Amen.
But God causes us.
Yes.
The faithfulness. We are saved by his faithfulness apart from works.
Yes.
So let's say you're reading this, you're so excited. I mean, you say, oh, I'm saved. I'm reading the Bible, and the Lord gave you the revelation that you are saved apart from works. You have so much joy. Now notice, in group 3, they have James in the same category as Romans.
All right.
I repeat, if you started based upon this group 3, again, this traditional arrangement of the Bible, on one day you're so excited. Oh, I'm saved apart without works.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were told to read the whole Bible. It's one volume, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one day you decide to go over there in James. Now, Deacon Gavin, mm-hmm. please read James chapter 17, verse 20. No, James chapter 2, 17 through 20. Please.
Now, from the book of James,
yes,
the second chapter, beginning at verse 17, King James Version. Even so, faith, if it hath not works,
what?
Is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works.
Mm.
Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble.
Now, church, here's a problem. You just read Romans. Oh, what? I'm saved apart from works. Now, tradition tells you, okay, it's the New Testament. Go over there in James. Now, James says, you are saved. Read that again. You're saved. It's technically your salvation. Includes works. There's a works to salvation. Paul says there's salvation apart from works. James says there's salvation plus works. And then all of a sudden you get so upset, you try to say, okay, maybe I should get baptized today. I should speak in tongues, because he said here, the Bible says it's got to be some works. All you need to do, go back to the exercise we did 15 minutes ago. Go to James and write, find out who was James writing to. He's writing to Israel. And then you can have joy. Wait a minute. That is to Israel. You've quoted your word of God. James is to Israel. Paul's book, Romans, is to the body of Christ. And now you can move on in faith, because you just did a short summation to see James, what? Israel, Paul's writing, body of Christ. And you know what? James was even honest. At least, Lord, give James some credit. You know what he said here? Since being James, read the first verse in James, in terms of what he said, what the book is written to, the first few verses there. James chapter 1.
All right. Reading from James chapter 1, verse 1, King James Version. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes.
To the who?
To the 12 tribes.
Keep going.
Which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith work is patience.
That's okay. That's it. In other words, James opens the book, the Holy Spirit through James, telling you that the recipients in this book are Commonwealth of Israel. So when you read it now, you can read it with joy, because you say whatever's in that book is for Israel. It's not for the body of Christ. Now, by the way, you know, there are some things that runs across dispensational lines. Amen. When we had a study of the dispensation years ago, amen, we mentioned many times what the love of God that runs throughout all the what We're saved by faith, the blood of Jesus. What's the only way that anyone can be saved? The blood of Jesus. And that is what? Consistent in all dispensations. But again, when some of these messages bump heads and clash, you need to know, okay, who is this addressed to? Is it to the Commonwealth of Israel or the body of Christ? Now, here's an, almost at closing time. Now, here's another thing. People, you do this, you say this, right? About do not make Bible soup out of the Bible. That's one of Elder Karen's famous, during the doctrine conference. Amen. With mother, his grandmother, gone to be with the Lord. Don't make Bible soup. Grandma Jonna Parker, right, honey? Right? But some people are still mixed. They say, well, you know what? It's the Bible. What's wrong? It's the Bible. It's the Bible. Yes, it's the Bible. But the Bible has to be categorized according to similarities and characteristics. Let law be law. Let grace be grace. Let kingdom be kingdom. Even in the physical world, church, there's a methodology in having things in order based upon characteristics. Now, bear with me real quick. There was a German, a Russian chemist by the name of Dmitri Mendeleev. Dmitri Mendeleev was the father of the periodic table. Now again, somebody say, oh, you're now in science. Listen. By the way, science is in God. All science is in God. And you know, one of the most arrogant, you love everybody, but some of the most arrogant people, amen, that you ever run into is scientists, because God gives them this knowledge. Many of them, again, thank God for those that are elect, but those that don't know God, they get credit for this, right? I took my grandson Jamie to the Science Center a month ago, and I mean, we looked there, we walked there, and walking up and down the steps, and I said, oh, Lord, I made mistakes. Jamie, whenever you, you and Charles for 3 hours. I said, please stay on the first floor. Even on the second floor, the third floor. But it's amazing. But all those things at the Science Center, they have chairs for the grandparents, you know. You just sit down because you can't keep up with the grandkids. But all the things that God gave the scientists, the discoveries, all these things are what? In God. In Christ. But the point is this. God gave this man, this Russian chemist, Dmitri Mendeleev, the knowledge of what we call the periodic table of the elements. That everything, all the elements, whether it's nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine, chlorine, they're just not put up there haphazardly, church. They are put there in order based upon common characteristics. Now I'm going to go very slow. I'm in on this. The periodic table of the elements. The elements are designed methodology based upon common characteristics chemically. And I ask students, I say, Liv, I can't get this chemistry. I say, well, have you learned the periodic table? No, that's boring. Well, look, learn the periodic table of the elements and chemistry won't be boring. And some of those students were failing, but let's learn the periodic table. They went from a D to an A because they understood that the periodic table was the foundation of studying chemistry. But here's the key, church. In the periodic table, the basic thing in the table is that all elements are grouped in rows and columns according to similar characteristics. And if you just haphazardly pull the element and put them in the wrong place, you're going to have a lot of problems. Now, if you're going to have a lot of problems chemically and physically, what in the world is going to happen spiritually when you just jump over and put all the books in the wrong place? Let somebody say, it's the elements. What's wrong with putting the elements? I tell you what's wrong. This water, church, we all know, you learned this in elementary school. This is H2O. Two atoms of hydrogen, one of oxygen. But somebody say, well, look, I can just put, let's take chlorine, another element. What difference does it make? I tell you the difference. If you try to manipulate the periodic table, the wisdom that God gave to Mendeleev, and you put chlorine in the wrong place Just like a lot of people standing about in the wrong place. What's going to happen? You see this water? You drink this water? It's good. If you put chlorine and hydrogen in the wrong place, you think you're drinking water? You know what? Something that looks just like water is hydrochloric acid. You will swallow it and it'll kill you. Amen. Just putting chlorine in the wrong place, it'll kill you physically. Burn your mouth, most time you'll die. You look it up. You swallow some hydrochloric acid. Looks like water. It's colorless and it's odorless, but you swallow it, you would die. Because you put the element in the wrong place. How many of God's people are dying spiritually by having the Bible in the wrong dispensation? Randy told me that there was a church playing with snakes. And in fact, Kentucky, a preacher, playing with snakes, went over there, had the Bible in the wrong dispensation. They shall take up serpents. And he took the serpent up and he bit him and what? He was sick. So he what? Wrong dispensation. Then they called the ambulance. And they said, no, he said, I don't need any medical attention. He jumped in again, wrong dispensation, because you know where he went? He went to the scripture that says, by his stripes I'm healed. And he died that night. So you can have the books in the wrong dispensation, church. Not only will it cause you frustration, but many times it depends upon the situation to kill you. In terms of, you know, you saying, how many people? God's people. I don't need no inside diabetes. They go to a meeting, the preacher, by his stripes you're healed. And the doctor said, you better take the insulin. And they don't take it and they die. Now we know it's all decreed. Amen. For God's purpose. But let you know how many God's people. And by the way, when we all get sick, amen. The first thing, hey, I'm sick, amen. Pray for healing. But thank God, I let my pastor always say, pray the Lord's will is done. According to God's will. You better do that. You better end that prayer with according to God's will. According to God's will. Let it be done. According to God's will, church. It's everything is according to God's will. So again, the key is this. The Bible is a wonderful book. It's the word of God. It's rightly divided. When you're reading the Bible, in fact, when you're reading the Bible, and the reason we focus on today, the reason we focus on the New Testament, which is a New Testament, is really the New Covenant and the Grace Covenant. What you do, go, when you read that, you know, Paul, you know, again, you know. See, many times at Grace Gospel, we take things for granted. We hear this every Sunday, every Wednesday, but many of God's people don't hear this news. The great news of the gospel, the liberating gospel, the grace of God. But when you read Paul's writings, the epistles written by the Apostle Paul, the mystery, what's the mystery? That volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul. Those books, church, right at the beginning, every chapter, please write by the Christ. And when you're reading over there, and James and Jude, John, please, Israel. Then you can read it with understanding to know that this message, we are living in what? Times past, but now. The dispensation of the gospel, the grace of God. Everything today, Romans through Hebrews, is for this dispensation. Go back there. In fact, you go back there, and many things Jesus said in the kingdom gospel is for a future age. And then when you read the Bible with understanding to know that everything was created via a saying, you won't be caught off guard. You won't be upset by the things that can happen in this present evil age. Because one thing we mentioned, and I close on this, we mentioned the men's fellowship. People really, they say God controls all things. You know what they say that? They say he controls, what they really mean, he controls all things that happens good to me. But anything that happens outside of what I thought is the devil. No. And let me say this. The devil was not in that election this past Tuesday. God was in control. God determined who went out to vote. God determined who stayed home. And everything, don't get upset because the Republicans are running the Senate. Everything, they are in the hands of God. God just temporarily pulled down the Democratic Party, raised up the Republican Party as controlling the Senate for his own purpose. And when that purpose has been fulfilled, the Republican Party is going to come down. God raised him up for a purpose. And we don't know all the purpose of God, but I know one thing. Many times God allowed things to happen for us to see that, wait a minute, our hope is not in a political party. Our hope is in Christ. I have friends that are Republicans, for some is independents, some libertarians, some Democrats. Amen. So what party? Wonderful. Vote your conscience. But understand the whole arena is in the what? Control of God. And he determines what a person going to do, when they're going to do it, and how they're going to do it. Why? Because he's sovereign. God does what he wants to do, when he wants to do, how he wants to do it. Why? Because he's God. And he controls all things. And the one thing that he has control of is your life. And the fact that he has control of your life, you are moving by the unction of the Spirit of God. And let's move into the dimension of what God has caused us to be. Liberated. We're free. We're set free. We have the power of Christ. We have hope. And the ultimate hope is the gospel of the grace of God, the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Glory. 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 Hallelujah.